Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. From the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. Now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham. But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Abraham said, 'They will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Our Lord was the greatest teacher that ever lived, and there's a marked literary contrast in this wonderful parable. Our Lord spoke by parables, which were little stories. So it starts out with this rich man that dressed splendidly, and every day was like Thanksgiving. And he would really eat well. Enjoy life. Dressed like a king. Now the contrast means the marked difference is that right outside his gate, there was this guy named Lazarus who was skinny and he was poor and he had rags and he had these wounds and even the dogs would come and lick his wounds. And he really wanted to at least have a scrap of bread that would fall from the table of the rich man. Rich man didn't give him anything. So they both die, and after the death, it's the exact opposite. Lazarus is up in heaven with Abraham. Whereas the rich man, who really enjoyed life, is cast into the fires of hell. I've thought often about this parable. Why did this guy end up in hell? I mean, he didn't seem to be a bad man. He didn't seem to be committing adultery. I mean, he didn't seem to be beating his wife, or he didn't seem to be, you know, selling drugs or anything like that. Now why did this guy end up in hell? Didn't end up in hell for what he did do, but for what he failed to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not what he did do, but what he failed to do. Now, at the beginning of the Mass, I made the sign of the cross, I greeted you, and then we entered into what is called the penitential rite. Penitential rite means that we entered into our conscience and we examine ourselves to see who we are, what we've done before God. So I gave you about 30 seconds in which all of us, hopefully, were thinking about God's love, but also our misery, our moral misery, that's another name for sin. We probably saw certain things within us which we don't like. We want to try to discard. Then we said an act of contrition, which is basically composed by St. Augustine, who lived a pretty sinful life up until he was 31 years old. He was basically addicted to sex until he was 31. Then he was converted and became one of the greatest minds in the Catholic Church. His name is St. Augustine. In the prayer that we say, he mentions four ways that we can sin. We can sin in thought, word, deed, and the last would be that of omission. Maybe you haven't learned that word yet in your English vocabulary class, but I'll try to explain it to you, okay? Thought, word, deed, and omission. Okay, let's examine ourselves on that. Thoughts. Are you proud of your thoughts? Probably not. Probably have some good thoughts, but also a lot of ugly thoughts. The good thoughts come from the Holy Spirit. A lot of the bad thoughts come from the devil. So the good thoughts, we have to recognize they come from God, and we have to follow them. Whereas the bad thoughts that come from the devil, we should try to recognize this come from the devil and reject them. So the bad thoughts are not sinful until we give consent to them. In other words, we say yes to the bad thought, then we commit a sin in our thoughts. What about words? Can we commit sin by our words? You know, mothers about 50 years ago, at least in our culture that I was brought up and raised, it seemed to be somewhat ridiculous. If you said a bad word, your mother would drag you in the bathroom and open up your mouth and put a bar of soap and she'd wash your mouth out with soap, no? I don't know if your mother ever did that to you, no? But I'm not a rocket scientist, but I often thought, what the heck? And it's not so much the mouth that has to be changed, but the heart is what has to be changed, right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But as a kid, you would never forget that, no? Having your mouth washed up with soap, okay? So there are a lot of ways that we can really commit sins by our speech. But it's not so much your tongue that has to change, but your heart that has to be cleansed. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How can we sin by words? Well, by lying. By yelling. By insulting. By, as they say in Spanish, un chismoso, which means by gossiping. And by slandering. Every Thursday, I have my radio program. So I told a lot of stories today. I'm a storyteller. One of the stories I told was in the life of St. Philip Neri, who was one of my favorite saints. St. Philip Neri was a great saint. He would carry a Bible and a joke book. He liked to tell a lot of jokes, no? And in this episode in his life, he spent a lot of time in the confessional like the oblate priests. And he was known as the second apostle of Rome because he spent many years in Rome. So one occasion, this lady comes in and she says, well, I slandered someone. Another name for slandered would be character assassination. Character assassination, which means you destroy the good name. Okay? Character assassination, okay? Assassination means to kill. Kill the person's character by abuse of language. Do any of you know the story? It's a cool story. And he said, for your penance, I want you to go and get a chicken. Know the story? Maybe you're listening to my program this afternoon. Okay? It's a great story. So what would happen if you came to confession to me or to Father Craig, and he said, well, for your penance, I want you to go get a chicken. Okay? Pollo loco. Okay? Right? You probably think we're crazy. But he insisted, get the chicken. So the lady went out, and she couldn't believe that her penance was to get a chicken. So she went out on one of these ranchitos there in Italy and got a chicken, una gallina. And he said, Here, Father Philip, here's the chicken, here it is. No, you're not finished yet. What I want you to do is I want you to take all the feathers off the chicken. All the feathers. Imagine that, pulling all the feathers off that poor chicken in a cold, windy winter day. Huh? And he said, I want you to put the feathers in a bag. So she put in the bag, said, Father Phil, this is the most original penance I've ever had in my life. Huh? He said, you're not finished yet. What? You're just beginning. Really? Okay, what more do I have to do? Well, there in the church, there was a ladder and a bell tower. You ever see, you know what a bell tower is? Some of the older churches in Italy or Mexico, you go up and there's a campanario, they say in Spanish. It's a bell tower. So she was climbing up and up and up and up and up and up. It was really high. And she was carrying the feathers underneath her arm. So she got to the top, the bell tower, and there was a window, and he said, are you up there? Yes, I am, Father. Have I finished my penance? Not yet. What do you want me to do? So she got up the top, there was a window, and he said, push the window open. So she pushed the window was open, and there was a lot of wind. It was a really windy day, kind of like today, but even more wind. He said, Father, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to throw all those feathers out the wind, out the window, and let the wind drive it in those feathers in 1,000 different directions. So she got up and she threw all the feathers out the window. And she came down and said, Father, that was the most unique penance I've ever had in my life. He said, you're not finished yet. What do you mean? For your penance, I want you to go collect all of those feathers now. Everyone. That's your penance. Father, that's impossible. Much easier for you to collect every one of those feathers than to restore the reputation of that person that you killed by your tongue. Woo! Cool story, huh? And it just shows how much evil we can do if we don't control our tongue. But also how much good we can do. We can do a lot of evil. But a lot of good. So in Lent, you know, there's a lot of type of fasting. Ayunando, right? You can fast by not eating chocolate chip cookies. If you like that, or maybe instead of drinking Coca-Cola, you know, drink water. Or there are a lot of fastings that we can do. But a good fasting might be this. Try to control your tongue. Try to control your tongue. Easier said than done, huh? Easier said than done. St. James chapter 3 says that it's very hard for us to control our tongue. He says that it's easier for us to control animals than we can control our tongue. Years ago, I went to Barnum and Bailey Three-Ring Circus in New York City, most famous circus in the world. And I remember a couple of things. Something was very funny. And if you study literature and humor, part of humor is what is called incongruity. You know what that means? Incongruity? Something that seemed to be kind of really out of place. It's like, I remember I saw there was a Volkswagen and 12 clowns got out of the Volkswagen. Boy, I was laughing. Volkswagen. 12 clowns, no? That's called incongruity. Which means that's crazy. But the thing they remember most was, I remember there were bears, they were driving motorcycles. Better than people drive cars in California. They're driving around the circle, and they were driving really well, and they thought, we can train bears to ride motorcycles, but we can't control our tongue. No? That's what James is talking about. We have to learn how to control our tongue. And what it means is we have to learn how to control our hearts. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'll conclude with something that Saint Bernard said. Saint Bernard was the greatest man who lived in the 11th century. The mellifluous doctor. He said this, you should open up your mouth in three occasions. Open up your mouth to praise God, to accuse yourself, and to edify others. I love that. To praise God. What are we doing in Mass? We're praising God. Accuse yourself in the confessional. We're all sinners. But to edify others. Do you know what the verb to edify means? I didn't think so. Well, I'll tell you. You're going to learn probably in 10th grade the noun is called an edifice. Edifice, another word for edifice is a building. So to edify means to build up people. Either our tongue can be like an elevator or it can be like a sledgehammer. There's a difference, isn't there? Either an elevator, what does that do? That lifts up. What about a sledgehammer? Un martillazo. It crushes. So let's pray that we'll use our tongues. Never to hurt any people, but to build them up. Recognize that every word that comes out of our mouth will be judged by Jesus Christ on the day of our judgment. The last thing I'd like to say is this. Where do you receive Holy Communion? Elizabeth, where do you receive it? On your tongue, right? Isn't that true? You receive Holy Communion on your tongue. Isn't that incredible? You receive God on your tongue. Shouldn't we live according to that dignity? Receive God on our tongue. We should always recognize that the Creator of the universe came on your tongue in 10 minutes. Glorify God by your words, your deeds, your actions, and your lives. Amen.